Well, good afternoon, good evening, little children. It's July 3rd, 2023, and it's 1907 or 1907 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. There's something, first of all, I want to share from Carl Jung. Carl Jung says, or said, if the path before you is clear, you're probably on someone else's. Confucius said, a healthy man wants 1,000 things. A sick man only wants one. Perhaps he wants to be healthy. I don't know. Mark Twain said, man will do many things to get himself loved. He will do all things to get himself envied. And our song for today. This is from the JW.org website. It's song number 124. It's called Ever Loyal. Let me switch back to my proper output. There we go. It should work, I think. Magnificent creative work that song is on the part of the writer, of course, of the song, but also the performers who performed the song and the mastering engineers who worked on the mix of that song. But the content in the lyrics is especially powerful, of course, even regardless of what the music is saying or doing, but the music itself is powerful, so it's has a double impact. It just magnifies more than double the two things combined. So I want to study today with you, little children, the first part of the article, Born and Raised Messiah, by yours truly. And it starts out with this picture of Thomas, a painting by Caravaggio, 1601 or 1602 of the Common Era. Maybe we can click on that and get a larger version. There it is. Thomas didn't believe until he saw the holes in Jesus' body. Jesus had been resurrected and had materialized a new body, of course. It wasn't the same body, but he materialized the body with the holes, and it was Jesus was able to replicate the body as it was after his impalement with the holes and everything. But our article for today, I want to read chapters 1 and 2 because they're fairly short. So chapter 1 is Astronomical Dating and True Earth. We could say True Earth. We could say The True Earth. But if you notice, the first letter of each word, A, D-A-T-E, spells a date, Astronomical Dating and True Earth. So we don't want the word the in there because of that. And also Backdating Yesterday spells the word by with the first letter of each word. A date by. So you can then read a date, you know, the next chapter, what the word is for that chapter, and keep on reading. Chapter 4 spells Daniel. A date by that Daniel proves. That's the first five chapters, what they say, in terms of the acronyms or the first letter of each word spelling text. Chapter 1, Astronomical Dating and True Earth. We have a painting of the Adoration of the Magi by Hieronymus Bosch from 1510 approximately, an oil on wood painting. Here it is. We see the Virgin Mary with the infant Jesus and the three wise men arriving to pay homage. Now, chapter 1. The use of astronomy in chronological theory, known as astronomical chronology or astronomical dating, dates historical events using movements of celestial bodies. In so doing, it attempts to calculate the positions of objects, mostly the sun and moon, in the distant past. One of its major assumptions is that the orbits of the heavenly bodies have remained constant over time, with an exception being an allowance for tidal acceleration in the Earth-Moon system, this acceleration once again being assumed to be constant over time. And that acceleration slows down the Earth's rotation as well as whatever else it does. It gradually is slowing down the Earth's rotation. So this is assumed constant down to today. While astronomical dating in theory promises very high accuracy compared to other methods and offers absolute rather than relative dates, we don't know for absolute certain that these assumptions of constancy are valid. So this is the way of a scientist, right? A scientist makes assumptions and he doesn't assume that he knows anything until he makes some assumptions. It is thus useful for secondary confirmation purposes. That is, since we don't know if our assumptions are correct, we can try it out and see if it actually confirms the other recorded facts or the records, you know, that are available. Although we should be wary of taking it too seriously, the astronomical dating, that is, and its use should and must recognize its limitations. When it does confirm dates, it is at its most valuable, and its assumption of constancy remains its limitation, such that it cannot definitely eliminate chronologies. No chronology or hours alone stands confirmed for its full range of dates by the astronomical dating method. There's no chronology other than hours that comes close to being confirmed in all of its dates by this astronomical dating method, which is quite astounding to say about the genealogy, which is our chronology, is it not? Amongst the theories of Earth's history, there exist a number of them, this is paragraph 2, which have put forward the idea that at some time the Earth's orbit and rotation axis had been disturbed by a collision with some object, for example, a comet. Comet is a large, massive object in space that has the capability of disrupting the orbit of another object, such as the Earth. However, this is generally not relevant in discussions of the years that followed the disturbance, since that subsequent motion may still be assumed to be constant. The validity of an earlier disturbance to Earth's axis, you see, that's the law, Newton's first law, that an object in motion tends to stay in motion, an object at rest tends to stay at rest, and force equals mass times acceleration is Newton's second law. So in other words, there won't be any change without a force. Then you get an acceleration. And his third law is, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Those are the three laws of Newton's. The validity of an earlier disturbance to Earth's axis of rotation may also be questioned, since its position in space doesn't quote-unquote precess or quote-unquote mutate very quickly. There is a slight mutation over a cycle of 18.6 years whereby Earth's axis rocks, quote, as a gyroscope, unquote, and the 360-degree precession in space of Earth's axis causing the position of the stars to cycle every 26,000 years. So that's not a very rapid phenomenon either. Furthermore, there is a lack of knowledge of how Earth was oriented and spinning prior to such a disturbance. That's if we believe there was a disturbance. The reason we need to consider theories of disturbance at all is one very fascinating aspect of time studies, which is that the more ancient civilizations seemed to possess wisdom above that of people in our modern day. Pyramids are one example of advanced building methods, but examples of advanced work abound around the world. Megalithic structures seem to have seen a catastrophe as later cultures built inferior structures over them. In addition, there is the story of the sunken city of Atlantis, an advanced culture lost underneath the sea. That's the end of paragraph 2 of the article Born and Raised. There are no different, there's only one part, it's a one-part article, so we're not talking about part 1. It's just Born and Raised, paragraphs 1 and 2, and we don't know, we're not going to cover the city of Atlantis in the article here. It's not about the city of Atlantis, specifically, not at all, but it's mentioned in the introduction to this article, Born and Raised. The idea that there may have been a disturbance is something we want to, you know, get out in the open right at the beginning, so that we can then proceed to continue with our study and our scientific analysis without assuming anything, or assuming that there was no disturbance, rather. But we'll continue our study tomorrow, hopefully. I'm still sick. I've come down with something. The vitamin C has not wiped it out. So, you know, I'm strong enough to do the study, I believe. Our proverb for today is from Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. I return to see under the sun that the swift do not have the race, nor the mighty ones the battle, nor do the wise also have the food, nor do the understanding ones also have the riches, nor do even those having knowledge have the favor, because time and unforeseen occurrence befall them all. The wise words of Solomon once again. Acts chapter 12. Now we saw that Paul and Barnabas had come to Jerusalem to bring them a relief provision, or a relief ministration. What did they call it? A relief ministration. They went to Jerusalem to, Paul and Barnabas did. And we've established in the article, Born and Raised, and we've mentioned it yesterday, 44 CE is the time of this event when Paul and Barnabas arrived. It's very shortly, or nearly, connected with that time period. It's very close to that time, if not exactly 44 CE. At about that particular time, Herod the king applied his hands to mistreating some of those in the congregation, or of the congregation. He did away with James, the brother of John, by the sword. As he saw it was pleasing to the Jews, he went on to arrest Peter also. As it was, those were days of the unfermented cakes. The unfermented cakes again, but this time 14 years after the crucifixion. And laying hold of him, Peter that is, he put him in prison, Herod did, turning him over to four shifts of four soldiers each to guard him as he intended to produce him for the people after the Passover. Consequently, Peter was being kept in the prison, but prayer to God for him was being carried on intensely by the congregation. Now, when Herod was about to produce him, that night Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and guards before the door were keeping the prison. But look, Jehovah's angel stood by, and a light shone in the prison cell. Striking Peter on the side, it roused him. He roused him, the angel, saying, "Rise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself and bind your sandals on." He did so. Finally, he said to him, "Put your outer garment on and keep following me." And he went out and kept following him, but he did not know that what was happening through the angel was real. In fact, he supposed he was seeing a vision. Going through the first sentinel guard and the second, they got to the iron gate leading into the city, and this opened to them of its own accord. And after they went out, they advanced down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter, coming to himself, said, "Now I actually know that Jehovah sent his angel forth and delivered me out of Herod's hand and from all that the people of the Jews were expecting." And after he considered it, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was surnamed Mark, where quite a few were gathered together and praying. Peter must have been wondering where he should go after he was delivered from the prison by an unbelievable event that was miraculous, where the angel did this right in the full presence of these guards, and the door, even the outer door of the prison, even opened of itself. Without even, I mean, it sounds like they didn't even touch it. So this was a real miracle of some kind. After he can sit, so he had to consider, where am I going to go now? Like that's what it sounds like. He was just in complete a state of amazement and baffled by where he should go or what he should do. So then he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was surnamed Mark. And there were quite a few gathered together there and praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to attend to the call. And upon recognizing the voice of Peter, she recognized his voice. But out of joy, she did not open the gate, but ran inside and reported that Peter was standing before the gateway. She could hardly believe it, apparently. So she couldn't even open the door. She had to go and tell somebody first. They said to her, "You are mad," but she kept on strongly asserting it was so. They began to say, "It is his angel." But Peter remained there knocking. When they opened, they saw him and were astonished. But he motioned to them with his hand to be silent and told them in detail how Jehovah brought him out of the prison and said, "Report these things to James and the brothers." Peter said, "Report these things to James and the brothers." With that, he went out and journeyed to another place. Well, when it had become day, there was no little stir among the soldiers over what really had become of Peter. In other words, there was a great stir. Herod made diligent search for him, and when not finding him, he examined the guards and commanded them to be led off to punishment. These guards had let Peter escape. That's what Herod saw. He didn't see the angel. He didn't know what happened. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent some time there. Now, he was in a fighting mood against the people of Tyre and of Sidon. So with one accord, they came to him, and after persuading Blastus, who was in charge of the bedchamber of the king, they began suing for peace because their country was supplied with food from that of the king. But on a set day, Herod clothed himself with royal raiment and sat down upon the judgment seat and began giving them a public address. In turn, the assembled people began shouting, "A God's voice and not a man's." They were apparently impressed by his voice, or they wanted to in some way convince him that they were with him. Instantly the angel of Jehovah struck him because he did not give the glory to God, and he became eaten up with worms and expired. But the word of Jehovah went on growing and spreading. As for Barnabas and Saul, after having fully carried out the relief ministration, which we talked about, in Jerusalem, they returned and took along with them John, the one surnamed Mark, who we also believe is the author of the book called Mark, of the Gospels, one of the four Gospels. So we're really early today in our study. What was I thinking? There was something else I was thinking I could mention yesterday. But there was something else I could have talked about. I'm not sure. Now I'm having trouble remembering what it was. A lot of things have happened. I've updated, I worked this morning or this afternoon on updating the links in the articles so that some of the older articles now have a complete set of links to all the articles right up to Born and Raised, which they didn't have before. So that's going to improve the readability of the older articles, I believe. But it doesn't go back further than the article Moses, I'm thinking. I didn't get further back than that on this update. But on the online, this is not a change that was made to the PDF files. It's just the HTML hypertext markup language internet pages that are updated. So, I mean, the PDF files, I don't believe, have links in them anyway. That they don't have working links, so it's not as critical. But it's nice to have those links fixed, because they were broken links. And some of the very newest articles did have links that worked, but the older ones didn't. So it was time to do that, and it was difficult because I have so many different copies of these versions of the different editions of the articles, and my copies don't always agree with each other, so it's difficult. It's quite it requires a lot of energy. It's quite demanding. So it took a lot out of me to do that, but it doesn't really, I mean, for some reason, when you're sick, you become convinced that you have to do more rather than less. I don't know why that is, but it's actually true, because I think it's because we think we're afraid we're going to die, and we don't want to die without doing something. So in case we do die, we want to at least have done something a little bit extra to help people before we die. So when we're sick, we think it causes us to think about our mortality, the fact that we could die, right? So I'm enjoying my food, though. I've got some nice soup. Tomato soup, which I can make just by taking a can of diced tomatoes and adding some basil and a little bit of salt, and make it, boil it up, and make a soup. So, and I can still drink my matcha tea, which is very nice, and something where I don't have to chew, in case the problem is caused by chewing, which I'm not sure that it is, actually. But yeah, it's one of the more difficult infections it would seem anyway, to cure using vitamin C, because it doesn't cure it. Even when you reach bowel tolerance, it doesn't eliminate it. So this is problematic. Time will tell, though. It's important to keep learning. Every day we need to keep learning something if we're going to survive. We have to keep learning. Wasn't that song? I mean, I really want to. Yeah, I mean, that song was very touching. It may have been a singer that I've heard before, too. But if it was, it was certainly a great job, just a wonderful performance of that song. And I don't want to say too much about, in case I'm wrong about the particular singer, but I thought I recognized the voice as one that I'd heard before, and I just thought that this performance was so well done. But all the instruments and all the, I mean, the real test of an audio master is, I mean, the recording itself is called a master. The real test of that master is that it be able to be played on different speakers and earphones and headphones and all different devices, and still sound the very same, you know, or equivalent on those devices. And that's not easy, because these different devices have different sizes of bass speakers in them. The bass is going to be, you would think, very different. And many times they respond differently to the treble. But sometimes the more modern devices have a lot more of the high frequency treble. Well, it's what we call high frequency, we call it treble. But, and they might have more mid-range, which is between bass and high range or high frequency. But Yeah, it's very challenging to get the right balance. That song's, well, I'll have to wait. Time will have to be given to it because I haven't yet heard it. I don't think I've heard it. Maybe I did. On my Bose speakers, but. But I think it's going to be fine because the only problem with the Bose speakers is they have a large component of bass, and if the song has too much bass in it, it will show up on those speakers, whereas this song didn't seem to have an excessive amount of bass, so I think it'll be all right. But it's something that you can learn through experience with audio mixing. It helps to have a lot of experience with audio mixing before you can really, really do it well, because it's an extremely challenging field or discipline. That song was, it touched me deeply. It seemed to be right on topic too. I was talking about product loyalty. Yeah, see, when I was talking about that, I don't mean you can't be free to buy a new product of any kind that you want. It's just that sometimes we forget that the products we already have. Like, I've forgotten many times that I already owned, or I'd already bought something, and I went and bought something new, and I'd already bought the same thing before. And I just, because if we don't keep loyal to the products we buy, we don't even know what we have in stock, then we're purchasing things we don't need sometimes. We're over-purchasing. And that's not a good idea. Just, unless we're needing to have duplicate copies of everything, it's not a good. I mean, you do have to have backup copies of recordings, for example, for security, and you know, in case you lose one. But you have to have backup copies of your files on the hard drives or SSDs, because they can become corrupt, the files. So you could lose the file if you don't create a backup, but you don't want to have duplicates of everything you own. It's just not necessary, right? But so loyalty to your products is a good thing. It is July 3rd, 2023, but also, as the song was talking about, loyalty to the brothers, and not just to Jehovah, but to the brothers. So July 3rd, 2023, 1940 hours Eastern Daylight Time now. Ward Green saying, "I love you very much." That was a most touching song. I hope you enjoyed that song as I did. And on my behalf, it is Annie and Dusty saying bye for now.